We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And away we go. Episode 804 of the Al Galdi podcast. It is Friday, April 12th, 2024. And off all of the talk on Thursday about O.J. Simpson, whose family on Thursday morning announced that he had died on Wednesday at the age of 76 after battling prostate cancer, I'd like to instead salute another person whose death we learned of on Thursday, Kevin McClinton. He was just 52. Kevin McClinton was a point guard for Maryland for the 1989, 1990 through 1992, 1993 season. So he played for the team during its first four seasons with Gary Williams as head coach. Kevin McClinton was very active in the Washington, D.C. area. He was a big DMV sports fan, including being a big Commanders fan. His dad, Harold McClinton, was a linebacker for the Redskins from 1969 through 1978. Now, Harold McClinton died when he was just 33. He died on October 31st, 1980, of having been struck by a car while standing alongside I-295 in Washington, D.C. on October 1st, 1980. Harold McClinton was working as a youth services specialist. He was discussing directions with another motorist after speaking with inmates at the Lorton Reformatory south of Washington, and he then was struck by the car. So Harold McClinton died young, and now Kevin McClinton has died young. I had the pleasure of talking college basketball with Kevin on the radio many times, and when I left radio in January 2021, Kevin texted me. He did not have to do that, but he did do that. And I appreciated that very much. I want to send my very best to Kevin McClinton and his family. Rest in peace. Well, hello and welcome to this Friday installment of the Al Galdi podcast. I don't like beginning the show with sad news, but we do not write the news. We just discuss it. We on Thursday did have Commanders news. NFL insider Jordan Schultz of Bleacher Report, he had a post on X on Thursday morning, reported that the Commanders next week, in addition to hosting pre-draft visits with LSU quarterback Jaden Daniels and North Carolina quarterback Drake May, also will be hosting a pre-draft visit with Michigan quarterback J.J. McCarthy. So all three of the perceived top three most likely quarterbacks to be taken by the Commanders with their number two overall pick in the 2024 NFL Draft reportedly will be making pre-draft visits to the Commanders next week. This coming Wednesday, April 17th, is the final day for pre-draft visits. Next segment, an in-depth look at Jaden Daniels, as a welcome on Chris Phillips, the host of SEC Unfiltered, which is a big-time podcast and YouTube show, and he's going to talk to us about Jaden Daniels, including why Chris believes that Daniels will thrive in the NFL, why Daniels was so much better in his 2023 season than he was over his first four collegiate seasons, how Chris views the major concerns with Daniels, whether Daniels is the best quarterback in LSU history, not named Joe Burrow, and more. Southern fried football. ain't no conference in college football quite like the SEC. Chris Phillips knows the SEC exceptionally well, and he's going to give us great perspective on the betting favorite to be taken by the Commanders with their number 2 overall pick in the 2024 draft, Jaden Daniels. Also on the show, the Capitals, a very disappointing loss on Thursday night, a 4-2 loss at the Buffalo Sabres, who have been eliminated from postseason contention. The Caps now are on the outside looking in terms of making the Stanley Cup playoffs, and the Caps have just 3 games left in this NHL regular season. And I'll talk Orioles. What a win for the O's on Thursday night. A 9-4, 10-inning win at the Boston Red Sox to complete a 3-game sweep. The O's overcame a 2-1 eighth-inning deficit, blew a 3-2 eighth-inning lead, and then scored 6 runs in the top of the 10th. Before we get to some feedback, no game for the Nationals on Thursday, but their AAA affiliate, the Rochester Red Wings, did have a game on Thursday. A 6-3 win at the Buffalo Bisons, a game in which the Nats' number 2 prospect per MLB Pipeline, James Wood, was outstanding. He is Rochester's starting center fielder and number 2 batter, went 4-for-5 with 2 home runs, a double, and a single, and he had a stolen base. James Wood, for this season, now has an OPS of 1,352. If you are a Nats fan, you should be on James Wood watch. He could be called up to the majors very soon, especially with this Saturday, April 13th, being what I like to call service time day, as waiting until then to call up a prospect can get a team an extra season of team control of that prospect. James Wood could be making his major league regular season debut very soon. We shall see. You can hit me up on X at Al Galdi. You can email me the Al Galdi podcast at yahoo.com. Lots of feedback to our many recent conversations on the Commanders quarterback decision via their number 2 overall pick in the 2024 NFL draft. We on last Friday's show, episode 799, spoke with NFL draft analyst Ian Cummings of Pro Football Network. He has Drake May as the QB1 in the 2024 draft. Yes, ahead of USC's Caleb Williams. We on this past Monday's show, episode 800, the monumental episode 800, spoke with college football analytics pioneer Bill Conley of ESPN about his statistical comps for the perceived top quarterbacks in the 2024 draft. We on Wednesday's show, episode 802, spoke with Commanders analyst Mark Bullock of Bullock's Film Room, which you can find at markbullock.substack.com. He took us through his thinking in now having Michigan's J.J. McCarthy as the guy who the Commanders should take it to. We on Thursday's show, episode 803, spoke with Matt Manocharian, who is the Senior Vice President of Football and Data Analytics for Sports Info Solutions, and who is a former scout for the New Orleans Saints and Cleveland Browns, and he explained why he believes that the Commanders should take Drake May at 2. Email from Eric Stork of Weedman writes, Eric, really interesting listening to all of the various experts on what the right choice is at quarterback. The prospects are exciting, and hopefully we get a good one. It does seem that everyone is as conflicted as all of us, thanking my lucky stars that this is not a decision that I have to make. Thank you for the email, Eric. Yes, there certainly is a pressure on Commanders General Manager Adam Peters to get this decision right. A pressure that actually was not on the people making the decision for Washington the last 2 times it had the number 2 overall pick in an NFL draft, 2012 and 2020. Now, yes, there was pressure in each of those times to get the pick right, but the pressure was not what the pressure is now, at least not as I see things. And that's because the pick in each of those other drafts, 2012 and 2020, felt fairly obvious, right? even though neither pick worked out. But 2012, the Redskins taking quarterback Robert Griffin III with the number 2 overall pick, which was acquired via trade, was obvious and clear and totally expected. The quarterback class for that draft was viewed by basically everyone as Andrew Luck as the QB1 and RG3 as the QB2. Never mind that you could argue that the two best quarterbacks from that class ended up being a third-round pick in Russell Wilson and a fourth-round pick in you-know-who. But there was not this immense pressure on the Skins in terms of who should be the choice at 2. 2020, the Skins taking edge defender Chase Young with the number 2 overall pick was obvious and clear and totally expected, even though in hindsight, that was the totally wrong call. But the quarterback class for that draft was viewed as questionable beyond Joe Burrow. And yet, you look at that quarterback class, at least the quarterbacks taken over the first two rounds of that 2020 draft, Joe Burrow, Tua Tagovailoa, Justin Herbert, Jordan Love, and Jalen Hurts. I mean, how good does that class now look? Email from Kim writes, Kim, I have listened with great interest to episodes of your podcast having to do with our number 2 overall draft pick. Having been disappointed with our draft selections in recent years, I just feel a little nervous about Jaden Daniels. Don't get me wrong, he sounds electrifying, but therein lies the issue. RG3 comparisons both excite and worry me. With that situation going down so badly, a quarterback who can't protect himself worries me. I haven't heard too much about his inability to slide. What say you, and is Drake May Andrew Luck? Thank you for the email, Kim. Well, I do prefer Drake May over Jaden Daniels, but Drake May is not viewed like Andrew Luck was viewed. Andrew Luck was viewed as the best quarterback prospect in an NFL draft since John Elway in 1983. Drake May is viewed pretty favorably, but he's not viewed that way. Caleb Williams would be the closest thing to Andrew Luck in this 2024 quarterback class, because a lot of people really like Caleb. I get the Jaden Daniels RG3 comparisons, but there are two distinct and important differences. Number one, RG3 suffered a major injury in college. He suffered a torn right ACL in September 2009 while playing for Baylor. So he came to the Skins with a significant injury history. Jaden Daniels, to me, is an injury risk. And he did deal with some injuries while at Arizona State, but nothing as serious as a torn ACL, and he, over his two seasons at LSU, was durable. Number two, RG3 was immature and was spoiled and was not well-liked by many of his teammates. And look, I don't think that RG3 was or is some terrible human being, okay? But he had a lot of growing up to do. You could argue that he still has some growing up to do. But everything that I've read and heard about Jaden Daniels as a person has been good. From Jim D on X on what is happening with this weekend's opponent for the Nationals, the Oakland A's, and how that maybe, possibly, could have been what happened with the Commanders. Writes Jim, the current state of the A's is like the bad future that I had imagined with the Commanders under Dan. So glad we have the right people to right this ship. Thank you for that, Jim. The A's, who have had an uncertain future for years, now are headed to Sacramento for the 2025 through 2027 seasons, and then are moving to Las Vegas for the 2028 season. But to me, the Commanders were never going to be relocated, regardless of what happened with Dan Snyder. I never bought into this thought that was out there that the turmoil with Dan and or new ownership off Dan selling the team might result in the team relocating. The Washington, D.C. market is a top 10 media market. The Washington, D.C. market is a very lucrative market, filled with people with disposable income and filled with businesses with lots of money and filled with government agencies with lots of money. The NFL, which cares about money more than anything, never lose sight of that, was never going to leave the DC market. Never. I read slash heard people bring up the possibility of the NFL relocating the Commanders to St. Louis or San Antonio. No, never. The Washington, D.C. market is a powerhouse market. The NFL would be nuts to leave the D.C. market, even for a season or two. There are 210 designated market areas, or DMAs, listed by the 2023-2024 Nielsen rankings. Number one is New York City. Number two is Los Angeles. Number three is Chicago. And Washington, D.C. is number nine. Neither the NFL nor any major professional sports league is ever going to willingly leave the D.C. market again. What happened with the two incarnations of the Washington Senators leaving D.C. happened years ago, happened in a very different time. The D.C. market then was not what it is now. Well, a staple of the D.C. market is the great law firm of Paulson & Nace, which was founded in 1979. If you have a case, contact Paulson & Nace. Paulson & Nace is a Washington, D.C.-based family law firm that handles medical malpractice, personal injury, birth injury, legal malpractice, and consumer protection cases, offering aggressive advocacy for victims in Washington, D.C. and West Virginia. Chris Nace, Matt Nace, and the rest of the team do excellent work. If you feel that you've been wronged, if you think that you've been wronged but aren't sure, call Paulson & Nace and schedule a no-obligation appointment. Call 202-902-7611. That's 202-902-7611. And when you call, tell Paulson & Nace that Al Galdi sent you. If you have a case, contact Paulson & Nace. Paulson & Nace has recovered millions of dollars for the sick and injured. Consider this. Paulson & Nace has taken on Big Pharma and won. Two verdicts versus Merrill Dow totaling $132 million. Also, Paulson & Nace took on the U.S. government and won. Bradley versus the United States of America. Paulson & Nace won a case for which the United States government had to pay nearly $1.8 million. If you have a case, contact Paulson & Nace. Call 202-902-7611. 202-902-7611. When you call, tell Paulson & Nace that Al Galdi sent you. You could also visit PaulsonAndNace.com. Just don't forget to tell Paulson & Nace that Al Galdi sent you. Paulson & Nace, when tragedy happens, let the family of Paulson & Nace take care of your family.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
If you happen to be listening to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, you can write a review of the podcast saying that you like it. The review can be just a sentence or two, but the reviews help out the podcast a lot, so thank you very much for doing them. Whichever quarterback you feel the Commanders should take via their number two overall pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, one thing is clear. The intel is suggesting that LSU quarterback Jaden Daniels is the most likely pick. I prefer North Carolina quarterback Drake May over Daniels. I am intrigued by Michigan quarterback J.J. McCarthy, but you can't deny that there is a momentum for Daniels being the pick. Now, whether the momentum is real or is wrong is hard to say because Commanders General Manager Adam Peters and company have done a really good job of keeping things close to the vest. But a good friend of this podcast, Commanders insider Ben Standing of The Athletic, he in his most recent mock drafts has had the Commanders taking Jaden Daniels at 2. ESPN NFL draft analyst Mel Kiper Jr., he in his most recent mock drafts has had the Commanders taking Jaden Daniels at 2. ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter, he on each of the last two episodes of his podcast, the Adam Schefter podcast, has said that signs point toward the Commanders taking Jaden Daniels at 2. Colin Cowherd, he on Monday afternoon on his show, The Herd, with Colin Cowherd on FS1 and Fox Sports Radio, said that he was hearing that the Commanders, at least as of Monday, would take Jaden Daniels at 2. If you go by the betting market, Jaden Daniels continues to be the betting favorite to be taken by the Commanders at 2. For example, FanDuel, as of Thursday, had Jaden Daniels as a minus 155 favorite to be taken by the Commanders at 2. Compare that with Drake May at plus 135 and J.J. McCarthy at plus 1,000. Heck, two prominent ESPN NFL analysts, Dan Orlovsky and former Redskins executive Lewis Riddick, they both believe that Jaden Daniels is the QB1 of the 2024 draft, not USC's Caleb Williams. This was Orlovsky on ESPN's Get Up with Mike Greenberg on March 28th.
I would take Jaden Daniels. It's been that way since the moment I started to study this year's draft class. And the moments when you watched him be the best player in the field in multiple games, the Florida game, the Alabama game, the Missouri game. I think you have to ask yourself this, Greeny. If we are honest about the quarterback situation present day in the NFL, what are the traits or skill sets that allow the top six or top eight guys to be the top six or top eight guys on a consistent basis? Okay? Not the, oh my gosh, the jaw-dropping stuff. Stop telling me every guy's going to be Patrick Mahomes, okay? Stop. Number one, the decision-making. The decision-making is about how well you process information. What's my play? What's the defense? Ball gets snapped. What am I supposed to do with the football on a consistent basis? Jaden Daniels does that the best in this class. Number two, ball placement, not accuracy. Accuracy, throwing to your guys. Ball placement, throwing away from the defense. Okay, I get the ball. The coverage is this. It's tight in the NFL. Where do I throw it to get that completion in that moment? Jaden Daniels does it the best in this class. I think if we're honest about who the best quarterbacks are on a consistent basis, year in and year out in the NFL, and where these guys are, Caleb's unbelievably talented. Jaden's the best guy in the draft for me.
All right, Dan Orlovsky, a big fan of Jaden Daniels. We on this podcast have talked a lot about Jaden Daniels, but we have yet to do a true deep dive on Daniels. And so I'm very pleased to welcome to the podcast Chris Phillips. He is the host of SEC Unfiltered, which is a very successful podcast and YouTube show. You can follow Chris on X at CPhilly19, and you can follow SEC Unfiltered on X at SEC Unfiltered. Hey, Chris, how are you?
Al, what's going on, man? Appreciate you having me on. Yeah, really excited to see where a number of these SEC stars go in the upcoming NFL draft. You know, it's always interesting the way that we look at the way NFL evaluators weigh their college experiences and success. And of course, I know we're focusing specifically on Jaden Daniels. I think he and a couple of his LSU teammates are going to have very successful NFL careers and get excited to see where Jaden lands. Like I told you off air, I think he's going to make an NFL GM or an NFL franchise very, very happy over the next couple of years.
There, of course, are so many variables that go into whether a good collegiate quarterback will be a good NFL quarterback. You are confident that Jaden Daniels will be a good NFL quarterback. Why is that?
I think the kid's a winner. He's a playmaker. He's won everywhere he's been. He's also dealt with adversity, right? I think that's invaluable. I think that, you know, you look back over the history and tenure of his career, started at Arizona State, dealt with some injury stuff early in his career, dealt with not winning the job early in his career, you know, gets to LSU. And even this past year, I should say, where he had a fantastic season, won the Heisman Trophy. That wasn't won without turmoil, adversity, what he dealt with on the defensive side of the football for LSU. They had one of the worst defenses in their school's history. And, I mean, he really, the way he was able to, Al, put that team on his back and shoulder the load. And, you know, what's important in the NFL, being the CEO, being the face of the franchise, being the face of the program, the way he was able to do that at LSU, I think represent them as well on and off the field in a first-class manner. That, to me, I feel like is going to translate to the next level and be something that there's a reason he's being regarded so highly by so many. So I just think his ability to, again, you know, weather the storm, shoulder adversity, put the team on his back and be that leader. Again, he was fantastic for LSU in 2023. I mean, it was we literally, Al, were talking on a week-in, week-out basis. Okay, the question is, can Jaden Daniels and the LSU offense outscore their opponent? Because you knew the defense wasn't going to show up. You knew they were going to go as far as he could take them. And, I mean, he gave them everything he had and then some. So I'm sure it'll be much more complimentary football at the next level. But I have full confidence that Jaden Daniels is going to not just succeed, but I think he's going to thrive at the next level.
Jaden Daniels was Arizona State's QB1 for the 2019 through 2021 seasons, and then was LSU's QB1 for the 2022 and 2023 seasons. Daniels, over his first four collegiate seasons, 2019 through 2022, played in 43 games and had 49 touchdown passes. Daniels, in his super senior season of 2023, played in 12 games and had 40 touchdown passes. Daniels, over his first four collegiate seasons, had a yards per pass attempt of 8.04. Daniels, in his 2023 season, had a yards per pass attempt of 11.66. Daniels, over his first four collegiate seasons, had a completion percentage of 64.5. Daniels, in his 2023 season, had a completion percentage of 72.2. You get the idea. The improvement was amazing. From your perspective, how and why was Daniels so much more productive in 2023 than he was from 2019 through 2022?
Well, Al, I think first off, he went from a much better program, with all due respect to Arizona State and that situation that he was in. You know, LSU is, dare I say, I know we're not talking college basketball, but a blue blood of the sport, right? When you think of LSU football, you think of winning big. Obviously, Nick Saban gets his big SEC start here. They win the national title early 2000s. And, you know, really since then, LSU has been one of the premier programs of the sport, rich tradition, history, what have you. So, you know, Brian Kelly takes over at LSU a couple years ago, and Jaden Daniels comes along with him. I think that situation was much better. Now, I will admit, Al, the season that he had in 2023 wasn't what I expected. It wasn't what many expected. I mean, 40 touchdowns, 4 picks, 72% completion percentage, almost 4,000 yards. And, oh, by the way, winning the Heisman Trophy. You know, I think he had a great supporting cast. Obviously, Malik Nabers, we're going to hear a lot about in the NFL draft. He's going to be a guy that, again, is going to, I think, be a first-day guy, and certainly having a target like that on the outside is crucial. But, you know, I think, you know, Al, we have to realize and say that it's okay to allow these prospects to just simply get better during the course of their careers, right? Like to see live reps and see live bullets, and that stuff is invaluable. There's nothing like it. But I think, you know, at his first couple of years, again, dealing with what he dealt with, being at Arizona State, the situation was somewhat on shaky ground. He dealt with some things personally. I just think getting to LSU was kind of a new start for him, and I thought you saw his game really, really thrive and flourish. And, you know, he had a solid 2022. Again, it was nothing crazy. But what he did in 2023, I think, too, in the offense, which LSU did a fantastic job utilizing his skill set, the way Jaden Daniels was so impressive to me, the way he was able to run the football and carry their running game. I mean, really, truly, that's what set him apart. That's why he was the easy, hands-down Heisman Trophy favorite. And I think he discovered that about his own game, the way he was able to be so multifaceted. So I know he probably won't quite run as much, obviously, at the next level. You don't want him getting hurt. But having that in your back pocket, that makes him so lethal. And I think it makes him a no-doubt first-rounder.
Jaden Daniels' 2023 season, like the final collegiate season for another LSU quarterback, Joe Burrow, was a massive breakout season that raised the question of, hey, was this an outlier season or was this now who this guy is? There also is the parallel of each guy in his final collegiate season benefiting from having two stud receivers, right? Joe Burrow in 2019 had Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase. Jaden Daniels in 2023 had Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr. Well, Burrow, of course, as an NFL quarterback, has been great. It turns out that his 2019 season was very telling. Do you see that as a reason to believe that Daniels' 2023 season will prove to be telling?
I think so, Al. I mean, again, there's such thing as peaking at the right time, right? And again, I think, like I said, we have to allow kids. I know guys are enrolling early and they're flourishing right away, it seems, right? We all want this body of work where I know that the buzzword or the buzz, you know, 25 starts is what NFL GMs are looking at. That's sort of the number you look at. And that's when they really start to evaluate. And so I know Jaden Daniels, obviously he was in college forever, right? Played 5 years of college football, but, you know, you look earlier in his career too, man. I mean, even in 2021, he ran for 710 yards. So I think early on was starting to find his feet literally and figuratively, then makes that jump to LSU. I mean, I think that's when it really started to take off for him. So, you know, I love the Joe Burrow comparison. I know that, our friends down in Baton Rouge, they love that comparison as well. I got a good friend of mine that runs an LSU entity that he's got a Joe Burrow shrine in his studio, going to be setting up a Jaden Daniels one next to it. But I see no reason why his career path will not follow the same as what Joe Burrow's did. I mean, again, Joe Burrow was the same guy that, you know, started out his career really, really slow in college and transferred. And you get in the, it's just like the NFL, Al, where you get in the right situation, you get around the right people, you have the right support system that gets the very best out of someone. So that stuff matters, whether it's the collegiate level, the pro level. And so again, I think Jaden Daniels to Washington, I think he could have that support system and I think hit the ground running and just continue the success that he had in 2023.
Much more with Chris Phillips in seconds. But if you are a Commanders fan, make sure that you're checking out BGObsession.com. You can placate your burgundy and gold obsession at BGObsession.com. BG Obsession, or BGO, has been the home of the most knowledgeable, friendly, and passionate Washington fans on the web since 2009. BGO is a special place at which you can join your fellow fans for some smart football discussion, great contests, game day chats, and even lifelong friendships. So what are you waiting for? Visit and join BGO at BGObsession.com, home to your burgundy and gold obsession. We're talking Jaden Daniels with Chris Phillips, the host of SEC Unfiltered, which is a very popular podcast and YouTube show. Are there specific games for or plays by Jaden Daniels in the 2023 season that especially stand out to you? Like, if a Commanders fan who's listening to this wants to get excited about Jaden Daniels, what are some good things to search for on YouTube?
Yeah, the one thing I would say is the 2023 LSU Florida game. That is the one right there, record-setting game. I believe he set the record for total yards. I think rushing yards by a quarterback had over 200 in that ball game. Threw for over 300, I think. I mean, that was a masterclass at how to be an absolute nightmare at the quarterback position for opposing defenses. Now, again, like I said, is he going to run that much in the NFL? No, he's not going to have to. That's going to be the great part. I mean, he was running by necessity for that LSU offense. But, yeah, you want to get excited. You want to get fired up. You want to see this kid's potential, what he's all about. That LSU-Florida game, we've never seen anything like that, literally. I mean, it was a record-breaking performance what he did that night. And that was really Al. That was one of those Heisman moments where, you know, you knew he was in the running, right? He was in contention with some others. Once that game happened, it was over. You knew Jaden Daniels was the hands-down easy Heisman Trophy winner.
There are two big concerns that I have and that I know many others have about Jaden Daniels in the NFL. One is the injury risk, given his running style, which can be very reckless, combined with his thin frame. Now, he, over his two seasons at LSU, was durable. Do you view Daniels as a significant injury risk in the NFL?
I think anytime, like realistically, I think anytime you have a quarterback who runs like he does, there is going to be some risk. I mean, let's just call it for what it is, right? I think there's things that you can do. You don't want to, here's the thing, you don't want to change his game. You don't want to change who he is, but you know, I think he probably realizes, and maybe he doesn't want to run quite as much as he did. I mean, again, man, he ran by necessity last year, and they couldn't run the ball otherwise than Jaden Daniels running the football. So I'm sure it's probably a relief to him that, you know, obviously the NFL, the next level, he's not going to have to do that, right? He's going to probably have a running game that will complement him. But, I mean, all these guys know, right, that come from the college level to the pros. I mean, it's you can't take off free play because these are grown men that are doing some headhunting that are, they want to knock you out. Like, I know football's changed, the rules have changed, but let's just call it for what it is, right? It's still a physical game. So, you know, I think anytime you have a guy that runs like Jaden Daniels does, it can be somewhat of a concern. I mean, that's something he's going to have to learn rather quickly and to protect his body. And I mean, listen, the best ability is availability, right? You can't be a very good player if you're hurt all the time. So taking care of his health. And I think that's an adjustment he will make. And then the frame, I mean, again, I would expect him to beef up probably at the position, but like you mentioned, he made it work at LSU. So with these guys, the bottom line is this, is there some sort of injury risk? Sure. But I don't think it stops you from taking this kid and rolling the dice, if you will.
The other big concern with Jaden Daniels is how he fares in Pro Football Focus's pressure to sack rate, a metric that translates very well from college to the NFL. Pressure to sack rate, the percentage of a quarterback's pressured dropbacks that result in sacks. If you look at 116 quarterback prospects for the 2015 through 2023 college football season, so quarterback prospects for the 2016 through 2024 NFL drafts, Daniels has the seventh worst career pressure to sack rate out of those 116 quarterback prospects, 24.5. Did you and Jaden Daniels at LSU see a quarterback who took too many sacks?
Well, I think anytime you have a quarterback that wants to move in the pocket and run, I think running into pressure, right, you can make life somewhat difficult on your offensive line. So I saw that here and there, maybe some against some of the more elite fronts. I do think he struggled in that area. But, again, it wasn't something where in the midst of that great season, we felt like we were kind of nitpicking. I know that's obviously what the NFL draft is, and those are things you're trying to identify. But it's not something where I have this huge area of concern for Daniels at the next level, but certainly it's something he can improve on, right? Is identifying the pressure, not putting his offensive line in really tough positions. And, you know, again, the running ability can be a gift and a curse in those scenarios. So, you know, being able to stay within the pocket, deliver the football, check down, obviously make the smart decision, throw the football away if you're in trouble. Obviously you can't take a sack. So I do think that's something where making strides and improving on will be key for Daniels, no doubt.
If we're ranking the best LSU quarterbacks ever, Joe Burrow has got to be number one. His 2019 season is, to me, the greatest season that any college football player has ever had. But is Jaden Daniels number two?
Yeah, Al, Joe Burrow's still the GOAT. I mean, that 2019 season was just, it was insane. And if you look at that LSU roster, the amount of guys that went on to play in the NFL, I mean, I think their entire 2D practically was all NFL guys. But yes, Jaden Daniels, I would put at number two. And there's been some really good ones, but I don't even think there's a conversation. It's 1-2. And it's funny, again, talking to the LSU folks, They never thought they'd see a Joe Burrow again. Like, they never thought they'd see any type of season like that, maybe even a Heisman Trophy winner, at least like in the near future. And so for Jaden Daniels to do what he did, and what, again, made it so special and so heroic was the fact that, again, he had no defense. I mean, he had to outscore everybody. If LSU would have had a defense last year, even an average defense, they probably win the national championship. Like, that's how good Jaden Daniels and the offense was. And you know, the fact he carried them to 9-3, they win a 10th in the bowl game. Obviously, he didn't play in that game. But, you know, the heights that he carried them to, really putting the team on his back, I think easily Jaden Daniels is number two. Joe Burrow is still number one, the GOAT at LSU. Jaden Daniels number two easily, though.
Final question. Talking SEC sports, as you do, which SEC fan base is the craziest fan base? And I say craziest in an affectionate way, but we know that SEC fans are super passionate. Which SEC fan base is the craziest fan base?
Yeah, I mean, Al, I don't want to sell anybody short because, you know, I feel like somebody's going to feel left out if I don't name their fan base because, I mean, dude, they're all passionate. That's what makes what we do so much fun, man, is the passion, the energy, the electricity. It doesn't stop from any fan base. I mean, you can talk about the lesser thought of the Arkansas, the Mississippi States, the South Carolinas. I mean, dude, Arkansas fans are crazy. Like, I don't know if you saw the John Calipari introduction press conference. They're all calling the Hogs or whatever, and people are making jokes about welcome to the latest Colt meeting. And I mean, dude, they love their baseball. They love their football. I think it probably depends on your own personal experience. I mean, I would say this, I'm excited to see how Texas and Oklahoma fans fare in this conversation. It's hard not to say LSU fans, though. You talk about, like, just the pure, relentless passion and energy. LSU fans are certainly to the top of that list. I'm sure Jaden Daniels would say the same thing, but there's a reason they're so good. LSU is at home at night at Death Valley because, again, that fan base, it's hard to get out of there alive. You know what I mean? So I would go LSU fans. They're awesome, but, I mean, again, it's – there's so many great fan bases in the SEC. You can't sell any one of them short, but that's what makes it so special.
Awesome. I love it. Chris Phillips, the host of SEC Unfiltered, which is a really good podcast and YouTube show. Chris, thank you, and have a great weekend.
Al, appreciate you guys. Continued success to you as well.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
So I referred to the Capitals' 2-1 win at the Detroit Red Wings this past Tuesday night as a perhaps season-saving win for the Caps. Well, they on Thursday night suffered a perhaps season-dooming loss, a 4-2 loss at the Buffalo Sabres, who have been eliminated from postseason contention. And also on Thursday night, the Pittsburgh Penguins defeated the Detroit Red Wings 6-5 in overtime in an especially bad result for the Caps, in that each team in that game, the Penguins and the Red Wings, got at least 1 point. The Philadelphia Flyers won at the New York Rangers 4-1, and the New York Islanders beat the Montreal Canadiens 3-2 in overtime. So the Caps in this NHL regular season now are 37-31-11, and still have 85 points. The Caps now are tied with the Red Wings and Flyers as being 1 point behind the Penguins for the Eastern Conference's second and final wildcard spot. And the Caps now are 4 points behind the Islanders for third place in the Metropolitan Division. The top three teams in each division make the Stanley Cup playoffs. The Caps, Penguins, and Islanders, each team has just 3 games left in the regular season. The Flyers have just 2 games left in the regular season. But this 4-2 Caps loss at the Sabres on Thursday night was bad. The Caps fell to 1-5-2 over their last 8 games. This off the Caps having gone 13-5-1 over their previous 19 games. Charlie Lindgren, again, was the Caps starting goaltender, 31st time in 40 games. He stopped just 13 of the 16 shots on goal that he faced. Yeah, he faced just 16 shots on goal the entire game. This was a very low volume shots on goal kind of game. Lindgren, per natural stat trick, stopped 1 of 2 high danger shots on goal that he faced, stopped 4 of 6 medium danger shots on goal that he faced, and stopped all 7 of the low danger shots on goal that he faced. The Caps got doubled up 4-2 despite winning the puck possession battle. They had 24 shots on goal to the Sabres 17, and per natural stat trick had 54 5-on-5 shot attempts to the Sabres 43, including 12 5-on-5 high danger shot attempts to the Sabres 4. The Caps went 1-1 on the penalty kill. The Caps did not have a single power play the entire game. Their two goals came from top line center Connor McMichael and second line right wing Tom Wilson. Each guy scored his 18th goal of this regular season. McMichael scored an even strength goal 14:36 into the second period. Wilson scored what was basically a meaningless even strength goal 19 minutes into the third period to cut the Caps deficit to 4-2. He was number two on the Caps in 5-on-5 shot attempt percentage for the game per natural stat trick at 72.41. The Caps with Wilson on the ice in 5-on-5 situations in the game had 21 shot attempts versus allowing just 8 shot attempts. But Wilson also committed a tripping minor 16 seconds into the third period and was one of 4 players to each receive a 5-minute fighting major at the end of the game. As for top line left wing Alex Ovechkin, he had the secondary assist on the Tom Wilson goal, also had a game high tying 3 shots on goal and 6 total shot attempts. And the Caps again were without defenseman Rasmus Sandin due to an upper body injury that he suffered in the Caps 3-2 overtime loss to the Ottawa Senators at Capital One Arena this past Sunday evening. This was Caps head coach Spencer Carberry during his postgame session with reporters on Thursday night.
Yeah, I thought, especially early on, I thought we did a really good job of executing exactly what we wanted to from a game plan standpoint. And then it becomes a little bit of a microcosm of our season, right? That's what's happened so many times, is because we struggle to score and finish and make that last play or individually and collectively, then it becomes like when it doesn't go in for us and you get those shot attempts and those opportunities and they're missing and they're missing and they're missing and they're missing, what ends up happening, especially in this, is now two things happen. One, we go down in the game, so they score and now you get a little bit like, geez, are we going to be able to find one? We've had all these opportunities. And then the second thing that happens is we change our game just a touch. And in the second period, because we haven't scored, because we haven't been rewarded, it gets sloppy. We start to turn the puck over. We try to do something that is just uncharacteristic of our group, and it's just not our bread and butter. It's not what we excel at. So then it gets, you see the second period where things are going well in the first, and then you're like, geez, that's a little bit odd. In the second, I think we had one shot through 18 minutes or something crazy like that. And then we got back to it in the third, and I thought we were right there. Like, we could have won that game. I think we just got down in the game and just weren't able to make a play offensively or finish.
Yeah, and not finishing has been a big problem for the Caps this season. The Caps now have not scored more than 2 goals in each of the team's last 8 games. Hard to surge into the postseason when you go 8 consecutive games without scoring more than 2 goals in any one of those games. The Caps this weekend have 1 game, home to the Eastern Conference wildcard leading Tampa Bay Lightning, Saturday evening at 5:30. Well, the Orioles in this young 2024 MLB regular season now are 8-4, with 6 of the 8 wins being come-from-behind wins. Thursday night, a 9-4, 10-inning win at the Boston Red Sox in a game in which the O's overcame a 2-1 eighth-inning deficit, blew a 3-2 eighth-inning lead, and then scored 6 runs in the top of the 10th. The O's completed a 3-game sweep at the Red Sox, as the O's, Joe Angel, again, were in the win column.
And the Orioles, again, in the win column.
Yes, Joe, the win column. And hey, speaking of former Orioles radio play-by-play announcer Joe Angel, here's something interesting for you off the death of O.J. Simpson. Some of you may know this, but so O.J. played high school football at what was then known as Galileo High School in San Francisco. A quarterback for Galileo during OJ's time as a running back for the school, Joe Angel. Yes, Joe Angel was a high school quarterback for O.J. Simpson. Anyway, a great win for the O's on Thursday night. The O's scored 9 runs, totaled 9 hits, worked 6 walks, and went 4-for-8 with runners in scoring position. 6 of the Orioles' 9 hits were extra base hits, 4 home runs, 2 doubles, and 3 singles, as the O's in this 3-game sweep ended up having a very good series offensively, and no Oriole had a better series than Colton Cowser did. It's funny, so much of the focus, and understandably so, on second baseman slash shortstop Jackson Holliday and him being promoted to the majors and making his Major League regular season debut, but another well-regarded young Orioles player, Colton Cowser, was the Orioles' best player in this series. Cowser on Thursday night, as the Orioles' starting left fielder and number 7 batter, went 3-for-5 with 2 home runs and a double. Cowser in an Orioles 1-run 5th had a leadoff opposite field home run over the Green Monster in left field to cut the Orioles deficit to 2-1. The homer, his first career Major League regular season home run. And Cowser in the Orioles' 6-run 10th had a 2-out 3-run homer to right field for a 9-3 Orioles lead. That homer was some shot when it projected 438 feet per Statcast. Cowser was the Orioles' starting left fielder and number 7 batter in all 3 games in the series. He and the Orioles' 7-1 win at the Red Sox on Tuesday afternoon went 2-for-4 with a 2-run double, an RBI double, and an RBI sac fly. And he and the Orioles' 7-5 win at the Red Sox on Wednesday night went 1-for-4 with a 2-run single and a walk, and he went 1-for-1 on stolen bases. So Colton Cowser on Thursday night hit 2 of the Orioles' 4 home runs. The Orioles' other 2 homers came from Anthony Santander and Gunnar Henderson. Santander, as the Orioles' starting right fielder and number 3 batter, 1-for-4 with a 2-run homer. He, in an Orioles' 2-run 8th, had a 2-out first pitch 2-run homer to right field inside the pesky pole for a 3-2 Orioles lead. Now, the homer went just 332 feet per Statcast, but a homer is a homer, and the homer came one pitch after the Red Sox failed to turn what should have been an inning-ending double play. And Gunnar Henderson, he is the Orioles starting shortstop and number 1 batter, went 1-for-5, but the one was a 2-run home run. He, in the Orioles' 6-run 10th, had a leadoff 2-run opposite field homer over the Green Monster in left field for a 5-3 Orioles lead. Now, Gunnar Henderson on Thursday night did also strike out 3 times. He has had an odd start to this regular season, an on-base percentage of just a .296, but a slugging percentage of .521. This was O's manager Brandon Hyde during his post-game session with reporters on Thursday night on the reigning American League Rookie of the Year, Gunnar Henderson.
Yeah, big hits. I just think a little bit overswinging at times, and they're pitching him a little bit differently this year. Also, he's got to make the adjustment back and just kind of get them down in the zone. They're kind of riding balls up on him right now, but if they barely miss, he can do that. And what he did in the extra innings there, and so it might be a little bit of a slow start, but he's going to be just fine.
Yeah, the guy for the O's who really needs to get going is outfielder Austin Hayes. Hayes did not start a single game in this series. He, for this regular season, is just 2-for-28 with 3 walks, and both of his hits are singles. The Orioles' starting pitcher for this 9-4, 10-inning win at the Red Sox on Thursday night was Grayson Rodriguez, and he was good. He allowed 2 runs in 5 2/3 innings, gave up 6 hits, which were comprised of 3 doubles and 3 singles. He had 5 strikeouts versus 2 walks, threw a lot of strikes, 94 pitches, 61 strikes versus 33 balls, allowed 2 runs in the bottom of the first, but that was good. Gray Rod is off to a nice start to his regular season. He's been good in each of his 3 starts. The Orioles' bullpen was great in each of the first 2 games of this series. The bullpen on Thursday night did give up a big home run, but ultimately 5 Orioles relievers combined to allow 2 runs, 1 earned in 4 and a third innings. Jacob Webb was terrific. He tossed 1 and a third perfect innings. Danny Coulomb, who had been terrific, he in the bottom of the eighth faced three batters, but got just two outs. He gave up a game-tying pinch two-out solo homer by Connor Wong to left field over the Green Monster on a 1-2 pitch to tie the game at three. Yadier Cano faced one batter and got one out. Craig Kimbrell tossed a perfect bottom of the ninth to preserve a 3-3 tie, and Mike Bauman in the bottom of the 10th allowed a run, which was unearned. Brandon Hyde, during his post-game session with reporters on Thursday night, was asked if authoring a 3-game sweep at an American League East rival in the Red Sox this early in the season serves as a statement. Here was Hyde's answer.
Yeah, I'm not looking for statements, honestly. I just want us to play good baseball no matter who we're playing, and happy with, you know, we go 4-2 on the trip. Could have won a couple more games in Pittsburgh. So I feel really good about a winning road trip. You definitely want to play your division well, and we did that this series.
All right. Next up for the O's is a 3-game series against the Milwaukee Brewers at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. Game one, Friday night at 7:05. Tyler Wells will be the Oriole starting pitcher. Game two, Saturday afternoon at 4:05. Dean Kramer will be the Oriole starting pitcher. And game three, Sunday afternoon at 1:35. The ace, Corbin Burnes, will be the Oriole starting pitcher. And that will do it for you and me for now. Keep the feedback coming. You can hit me up on X at Al Galdi. You can email me the Al Galdi podcast at yahoo.com. Monday show, episode 805. We'll have a lot for you on the Commanders. Also on Monday show, I'll talk Capitals, Nationals, Orioles, and Wizards. The Caps this weekend have one game home to the Eastern Conference wildcard leading Tampa Bay Lightning Saturday evening at 5:30. The Nats this weekend have a 3-game series at the Oakland A's. The O's this weekend have a 3-game series against the Milwaukee Brewers at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. And the Wizards are Wizards. They this weekend have their final two games of the 2023-2024 NBA season, home to the Chicago Bulls Friday night at 7 and at the NBA-leading Boston Celtics Sunday afternoon at 1. Have a great weekend, and I'll talk to you on Monday.
Caleb's unbelievably talented. Jaden's the best guy in the draft for me.